Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We'll do our best to make sure that you have a great time and that you learn some things and you meet some cool people. I promise you're going to meet some cool people. And I'm not even talking about me. I'm talking about our Brain Trust members, like our good friend Alan Friedman, the author of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, one of the top experts in the world in computer lexicon. He is the guy who tells all of us what all of these words mean, all these technology terms mean, and that's what he does for a living, and he's one of our top technology experts. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It is always a pleasure.
It's good to have you back. 18.1, is that the last one?
No, 18.3.
Okay,
I probably
have 18.2 around here somewhere, but the one in front of me is 18.1. That's the version, folks, of Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. Alan, one of the things that I'd like to talk about for just a minute is the advances that have been made in storage, electronic storage. Now, I'm holding a little stick in my hand. It's not even as long as a stick of gum. It's a little thicker than a stick of gum, and it holds 1 gigabyte of memory. Now, I remember my first hard drive 15 years ago or so, maybe a little bit more. I bought my very first hard drive, and in those days, they were all external. There were no internal hard drives, at least at the time I'm talking about. And it was as big as a bread box, and it was 10 megabytes.
Correct.
10 megabytes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the hard drive, now your computers in those days were probably had like, maybe 144K of RAM or something like that, some ridiculous random access memory.
Started out at 64. Do you remember that?
Yeah, oh, yes.
70?
Absolutely.
64K was the norm.
Absolutely. And so, anyway, it was a megabyte, ladies and gentlemen, 10 megabytes of memory, and I thought I had conquered the world with this little box.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm holding in my hand something, I'm trying to, folks, imagine a cheese stick. Maybe that's a good example, a flat cheese stick or something, and it's holding 1 gigabyte, and I think that they make them in 2 gigabytes this size.
They're up to 2 gigabytes, and they're working on the next generation already.
And by the way, that 10 megabyte hard drive probably cost me about $400 or $500. This gigabyte on this little stick cost about $150.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what that's opening up? These are called USB drives.
Right, that's what they are.
Because they connect into the USB port.
Mm-hmm.
And they are opening up potentially something very unique, very interesting. It's possible in the future you won't even own your own computer, or you won't care what computer you have. It's possible that when these things get up to, say, 5 or 10 gigabytes,
mm-hmm.
it won't be that long, you'll have everything on your little flash memory stick or
mm-hmm.
drive or whatever you want to call it, and you'll plug it into any computer. And your applications will be on your drive, on your personal drive. You'll run
them. Not just the files, but the applications.
No, the data and the applications.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you'll use the computer just as a utility.
All of your settings for your browser, for Word, for all the different things
Absolutely.
Will all be there.
Everything. Everything will be there. You'll go on. You'll use the machine just like an electric motor, and you'll come off of it. All your settings are gone off that machine. All your data is stored back on your USB drive. And if that happens, that's going to change the entire way in which we work with computers.
It'll take more than 5 gigabytes, though, to get to do that, won't it?
Not necessarily.
You don't have to, I guess you don't have to carry everything you have with you, because I've got more than 5 gigabytes of stuff.
Yeah, but the stuff you mostly have these days are movies and image files. If you think about the actual business applications you have,
you're right. No, 5 gig.
You could probably put them on what you've got right now.
5 gig would do it. If it was just the things I'm working on right now. No, you're right about that.
You could. In fact, maybe all your business applications would fit on what you've got right now. It's a standard called U3.
U3.
Yeah. It stands for Y-O-U, simplified, smarter, and mobile. That's what the U3 acronym stands for.
Say that again.
It's a platform.
Say U3. That again.
U, Y-O-U.
Right.
Simplified, smarter, mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the concept. It's a platform. It's for Windows right now. And it's a developing platform with this concept that if everybody adheres to it, that, you know, you'll maintain everything on the little USB drive, plug it in, do your thing, take it out, and go to the next computer when you need it. Those computers will be all over the place. It's like any kind of utility.
Well,
it's like
and
napkins in a restaurant.
Absolutely. And I saw something the other day that was, I think I saw something that was bigger than, it was bigger than this little stick drive that I've got. It was maybe, you know, maybe three times as big. And I think it did have more than two gigabytes on it. Stand by, Alan. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. More technology to come with Alan Friedman. After these messages, here's Hart to take us out. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Alan Friedman's here, too. Alan, give us your website, please.
Computerlanguage.com.
Computerlanguage.com. That's where they can subscribe to your quarterly distribution of the Computer Desktop Encyclopedia, right?
Mm-hmm. And they can also get it on your website, Jim.
That's right.
You should give them that in address as well.
At the bottom of my homepage, right down there, it's a handy little feature that allow you to go there. And if you're on my site and you have a word that you see or you think about and you want to find out, you can tap right into Alan's resources right there on our website at the bottom of the page at jbsba.com. Okay, we're talking about memory and how this has changed things. You know, another thing that we're doing.
I wanted to mention something, Jim, before okay. You got off the air. You said you had something that seemed bigger. You might have had or have seen a pocket hard drive.
I'm going to say this was a little smaller than a business than a playing card. It's probably about the size, a little bit bigger maybe than a business card. A little
and
bit wider than a business card.
But it
was USB though.
Well, you know, if you go on, in fact, you go onto your site or our site and you look up pocket hard drive, this is right. The one I'm referring to. I show a 5 gigabyte Seagate hard disk. And when you hold it in your hand, you'd think it would be USB. It's so tiny.
Yeah.
But it's actually a hard disk.
And what does it plug into?
It plugs into the USB port.
Oh, it does plug into USB.
Yeah,
okay.
It does. It plugs
so
in
it is USB it. Then?
Well, it's a USB drive, but it isn't a flash memory. It's not a solid-state memory drive.
Oh, so you're saying, in other words,
spinning disk.
Oh.
It's really a hard disk.
Yeah, that's the confusion, right. When he's talking about a USB drive, folks, this isn't moving. It's just, as you say, it's solid-state storage. But the hard drive, what's the advantage of the hard drive over other than just the extra space?
Well, right now it's cheaper and there is a lot more extra space.
Okay.
In fact, you're talking about 5 gigabytes and more at a much cheaper price than you could get 5 gigabytes of flash memory.
And how big is it? How thick is it, for example?
Well, it's about a half, a 5/8 of an inch thick.
Right.
And
are these things reliable and durable?
I think they're very reliable. Look it up, as I said, on pocket hard drive on your own site.
Right.
So see it. I'm measuring 5/8 of an inch thick, and it is exactly about 2 5/8 inches round. And it's a very tiny thing you can put
mm-hmm.
in your pocket. And it has a USB cord that actually comes out of it, so that you open it, you sort of twist it, pull the cord, plug it into the USB drive, and you have your external storage.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Well, and the thing, here's one of the great advantages of all this, Alan, and that's more and more small business owners should be backing up with these kinds of devices. Their early backup system should be these kinds of devices, don't you think?
Well, actually, absolutely, but it's one of the problems with all this cheap storage. As they're getting cheaper and cheaper, you have more and more data, and you have more to back up. So it presents its own problem with its own advantage, as everything it seems in life.
Right, right. You know, I remember when megabytes storage was measured per a dollar, you know, per dollar per storage per
right.
megabyte, and it seemed like, as I remember, it was like $100 per megabyte.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a 10 megabyte, it was $1,000. That's what the storage. Yeah. I mean, that goes way, way back. So now we've got gigabytes for under $100. I saw one the other day was for under $100 on one of these USBs. But what I was getting at back to the backup, it's so easy to stick this stick or that little hard drive into the USB and back up your stuff and take it home with you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And another thing that we're doing, and we don't have elaborate backup systems here, but we are trying to do a better job all the time. We actually have some very large small hard drives. We're using Mac stores,
mm-hmm.
and they're 160 gigabytes. And so we're using those to back up. And of course, as you can imagine, Alan, we're headed toward probably a tape drive system one day.
Well, it's hard to say. Tapes keep getting denser and cheaper, but discs are starting to take over. In fact, there's a new thing that has been around in labs for probably 25 years called perpendicular recording. Hmm. And that's going to come out next year, and that's going to double the capacity of everything we have on the disk in the disk world overnight.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll give you a statistic. The first hard disk was in 1956, the IBM RAMAC.
Right.
And it had 2,000 bits per square inch.
Uh-huh.
Now, that seemed like a lot. Now, think about that back in the 50s. You told somebody 2,000 little dots, magnetic dots per square inch. That sounded amazing.
Yeah.
We're up to today, right now, 100 billion bits per square inch.
Wow.
And when we get perpendicular recording, we're going to double that overnight.
Really?
200 billion bits.
So what will that mean for, say, that little pocket hard drive you were talking about?
Well, if
instead of the same size, instead of 5 gigabytes, what would it be?
It'd be 10, I suppose.
Okay.
All things being equal.
Yeah. And will the cost go up?
I don't think so. No, I think the costs in this case are going to be the same.
In terms of disk storage, that'll be a paradigm shift, won't it?
I think so. It'll be a quick one. The bits are really just are perpendicular instead of horizontal, laid out from end
right.
to end. They're actually on their ends inside.
Another thing about these little USB drives, if you're not networked in your organization, if you're peer-to-peer, these things are handy as a pocket on a shirt, sharing information back and forth with the people in your office. Tintail, we've got more to come with our good friend Alan Friedman. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. The Small Business Advocate, and Alan Friedman is our guest. Alan, give us your website one more time.
It's computerlanguage.com.
Computerlanguage.com. I encourage you to check that out. Don't forget, Computer Desktop Encyclopedia. Is the book still out there?
The book is out of print.
Okay.
So someday we will resurrect it, but at the moment it is out of print.
But folks, if you find one, you might want to pick it up because it could be worth, 40, 50 cents in 25, 30 years from now?
It'll be a classic.
It'll be a classic. That's right. Okay. We're talking about Alan's our top technology expert in the brain trust, and that's what we're talking about. Primarily, we're talking about the advances in storage, which is really important in terms of hard drive storage, in terms of the solid-state USB devices and how they're changing. You know, if you get catalogs in, if you're like me, you get a lot of these computer catalogs in. I just enjoy going over and looking at the new products that are available for storage. Some of the new applications that you can have, and you know, when you go to a lot of Alan, when you go to a lot of large companies, I see people walking around with their USB stick around their neck.
Well, it's really opened up everything. It's the floppy disk of the 21st century.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the Apple Shuffle. It's just a USB drive.
Mm-hmm.
Not the iPod, the big iPod with a hard disk, but the little Apple Shuffle, the iPod Shuffle, is just a USB drive,
mm-hmm.
and nothing else. And it has, essentially, it's a digital music player. But USB drives have also been used for a whole variety of things. They're used for security tokens now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the major stock trader companies sends you a USB drive that when you log on to the website for your account, look at the number that is flashing on your card, on your USB drive, and you type it into the computer.
Hmm.
Or it automatically, I guess, goes in at that point. But
I'm not familiar with that.
The whole idea, it's really not only just the flash, it's the fact that every computer has four or more USB ports.
Right, right. The newest too. You know, I was talking about using the large drives a minute ago, the 160 gigabyte. And by the way, the 160 gigabyte, for example, you know, if you go to Office Depot and a Mac store at Office Depot with 160 gigabytes is like only like 150, 60 bucks or something like that. I mean, think about that. And of course, when you buy the 1 gigabyte USB drive, that a little USB stick, of course, you're paying for the compressed convenience of it. But these others are very small. The Mac stores, for example, there are others are very small. But we use those to back up, and we take one offsite every day. But you were saying something to me off the air that I think is very important that we need to pay attention to, and that's about recovering from those. Tell us about what your
Well, they found that a lot of people set up these very elaborate backup procedures, and they never actually do a test of restoring. They do that only in a catastrophe, when they lose the entire disk. Maybe there's a lightning situation, the hard disk is completely fried, or whatever the situation is. And they find in the recovery procedure, they don't have the procedure down pat, or they have glitches in it. So one of the best things in the world to do with a backup and recovery procedure is to test the recovery beforehand, see how everything goes. It's a good recommendation.
Well,
besides, if it ever happens, you'll know how to do it.
Absolutely.
But
give us an idea about how you can actually do that. How could you actually recover without recovering? Because you were saying don't actually recover, just act like you're going to recover.
Well, I would recover onto another computer. In other words, don't recover back onto your live computer that
right.
is still working in case there's a problem.
Right.
Just restore it onto a computer, onto a hard drive that's blank or that you don't need, or another computer. In other words, do the procedure that's not actually you're recovering. Then you'll go ahead and start using the new application or the applications that you recovered.
Right.
Data and make sure everything works. Mm-hmm. You don't actually have to recover in the sense that you're overwriting your actual production.
So you're saying, for example, typically if you have backup units, you're going to have two, one to leave to backup and one to take off site. And so could you actually try to recover off of one of the backups?
Yes.
One of the other backups?
Well, either way. The bottom line is test each procedure that you might have to use someday.
Right.
As if it were really happening.
Because what's going to happen
is
you're going to have a catastrophe, and then you're going to say, "Oh, I'm covered, no problem," and you're going to plug it in, and it's not going to be what you thought you had.
Right. Now that's if you're backing up applications. If you're backing up the data,
right.
Well, the data is the data, and it should be okay. But if you're backing up the whole operation and want to get started immediately,
right.
Definitely should test the recovery.
Alan, thank you for being here. Good job today. Good information.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Alan Friedman, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you he'll be back. We're not going to let him get away. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I will be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.